The CBS World News Roundup, presented by Kent, the cigarette that gives you good taste from the Kent filter and good vintage tobaccos. Light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going. Now, the news.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend in New York with the CBS World News Roundup. Not so many years ago, the 101st Airborne Division was commanded by General William Westmoreland at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. At a critical moment during World War II in Europe, it was commanded by General Maxwell Taylor. Today, at another critical moment in another war, the 1st Brigade of the 101st, the Screaming Eagles, began arriving in the country where General Westmoreland is now the commander of all American forces, and General Taylor is now in his last day as American ambassador. The Vietnam picture, reported by Adam Rayfield in Saigon.
Vietnam leapt to life today after a week of doldrums. More American troops arrived. The 101st Airborne Brigade were welcomed at Cam Ranh Bay by their old commander, Ambassador Maxwell Taylor. His son is now a captain in the unit. These were not part of the president's announced 50,000, but of the six battalions announced by Defense Secretary Robert McNamara some weeks ago. As they came ashore, other paratroopers of the 173rd Airborne at Dien Hoa started a week-long sweep through the jungle southeast of Saigon, an area pounded by B-52 bombers from Guam early this morning. There was virtually no contact on their first day. Further north at Chulai, there was contact as the biggest ever Marine operation got underway. U.S. and Vietnamese Marines in battalion strength for the first time killed 26 Viet Cong and suffered light casualties. And in Saigon, Prime Minister Ki told Vietnam on the radio there were only two choices open to them, to fight alone and lose, or to fight alongside the U.S. and win. Adam Rayfield, CBS News, Saigon.
All this comes on the heels of President Johnson's announcement of the new measures this country will have to take in the Vietnam War. With the world still examining what Mr. Johnson said yesterday, here's the story in Washington today from Alexander Kendrick.
This is M-Day plus one in the Capitol, the M standing for mobilization, psychological, if not yet military, in the Vietnam War. And the president's policy of combined determination and restraint is generally being welcomed here, though some congressional criticism is going and may come out in debate soon, and the nation's governors flying in from their conference to the White House today will also get a chance for some dialogue. The dispatch of new troops and the doubling of the draft quotas, despite their deep meaning for many American homes, are in a sense overshadowed here this morning by the hopes for new diplomatic moves for peace. The president left several openings for such. For the first time, he said that the United States would discuss with Hanoi that regime's proposals for a settlement, and his quick dispatch of Ambassador Arthur Goldberg to the UN is seen as an attempt to get some corridor diplomacy going. The president's actual decisions fell short of expectation, but there seems no doubt that the nation is more prepared today than it was yesterday at this time for whatever may be necessary. Alexander Kendrick, CBS News, Washington.
Secretary General U Thant at UN headquarters in New York is giving most serious consideration, he says, to President Johnson's request for greater UN efforts to end the Vietnam War. Mr. Johnson's letter was delivered to Thant by Arthur Goldberg, this country's new chief delegate. Thant told Goldberg he still thinks the war must be ended by peaceful means, either by revival of the 1954 Geneva Conference or by some other agreed form of discussions. Lord Avon told the House of Lords in London that the 1954 agreements might have worked in Vietnam if the U.S. had supported them. The man who, as Foreign Secretary Anthony Eden, helped negotiate the agreements, added that sooner or later there will have to be a political settlement of the present conflict.
Your taste, brighten up your taste. Light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Light up a Kent for real good taste. Light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going.
Good tobaccos, the Kent filter.
For good taste going when you light up a Kent.
Get away from dull, flat-tasting cigarettes. Brighten up your taste with the good taste of Kent's vintage tobaccos. Flavor blended to taste milder, brighter, more refreshing.
Good tobaccos, the Kent filter for good taste going when you light up a Kent. Brighten up your taste, brighten up your taste.
Brighten up your taste, light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going.
The Soviet Union today seems to be giving the news of the Vietnam buildup the kid gloves treatment, at least temporarily. From Moscow, here's the report of Walter Lister.
President Johnson's decision to send 50,000 more Americans to fight in Vietnam is reported in today's Moscow papers, but they aren't shouting about it. Pravda, for example, gives a brief factual account on page 3 under a small headline, Decision of the American President. The Soviet news agency TASS goes a step farther, finding a contradiction between President Johnson's message to the United Nations and the increase in American armed forces in Vietnam. These calls for peaceful settlements, says TASS, are at sharp variance with the deeds of the United States government. But all in all, Moscow's reaction so far is muted. The Kremlin probably does not want to complain too loudly about the United States' increasing commitment until a decision is made here on what to do about it. So muted reaction is not necessarily meek resignation. The Soviets are capable of increasing their aid to North Vietnam on short notice or with no notice at all. Walter Lister, CBS News, Moscow.
Comment on the president's announcement also follows a rather restrained line at the disarmament conference in Geneva, as we hear now from Daniel Shore.
Russia has reacted comparatively mildly here to President Johnson's announcement of the buildup in Vietnam. Delegate Semyon Sorokin told me the action would not help the East-West disarmament conference, which resumed Tuesday after a 10-month break, but made clear he intended to go on with the talks. Sorokin, who had planned to speak at today's session, was persuaded by Britain to hold off until he'd heard the speech of British disarmament minister Lord Chalfont. Lord Chalfont with a message from Prime Minister Wilson urging the 17-nation committee to make a priceless contribution to creating a better and safer world, asked that work start immediately on an agreement to halt the spread of nuclear weapons. He said the time is running out fast, and if we miss our opportunity, we could well find ourselves reaching a point of no return. Afterward, the Soviet delegate expressed himself as unimpressed by the speech, asserting he found nothing new in it. But Sorokin, who will probably speak next Tuesday, indicated he himself has no new proposals to make. As the first week of this resumed conference ends, it's produced little hope for early agreement, but at least has so far justified the idea that despite Vietnam, Russia wants to keep this channel to the West open. This is Daniel Shore, CBS News, Geneva.
Today at Falun, Sweden, a Swedish woman who is said to have been previously infertile gave birth to quintuplets. Another set of quintuplets was born only day before yesterday in Auckland, New Zealand, and there are unconfirmed reports of still another quintuplet birth in a remote village in Brazil. A hospital spokesman at Falun says all the new babies, weighing a little over 2 pounds each, are alive. The mother is reported doing well. She was treated with hormones before becoming pregnant. The chances of survival for the babies, however, appears to be slim. Now awaiting presidential signature in Washington is the milestone program of Social Security expansion and health care for the elderly, or Medicare. The Senate passed it yesterday, 70-24, thus completing congressional action. If Mr. Johnson signs the measure tomorrow or Saturday, which is the last day of July, the first of the bill's provisions will become effective the 1st of September. That's the section that liberalizes certain eligibility requirements for persons receiving Social Security.
Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Your cigarette will start to taste dull and flat. That's the time to brighten up your taste with a good taste of Kent. Yes, Kent will brighten up your taste because Kent is
good. So good. So good tasting. Good taste going when you light up a Kent. Light up a Kent.
You've got a good thing going.
Light up a Kent.
For real good taste.
Light up a Kent.
You've got a good thing going.
Good tobaccos. The Kent filter for good taste going when you light up a Kent. Good. So good. So good tasting. Good taste going when you light up a Kent.
Brighten up your taste. Light up a Kent and you've got a good thing going.
Renewed civil rights demonstrations are expected today at Greensboro, Alabama. Police there took action against them yesterday, making many arrests, but this evidently had the opposite effect from what the police may have intended, as we hear now from Bill Plant at Greensboro.
The arrest of nearly 300 demonstrators in Greensboro seems to have infused new life into the Negro protest, which had been a quiet stalemate. A march on the courthouse will be attempted later today. Last night, almost 200 more demonstrators resumed their vigil in the street where the arrests had taken place earlier. Hosea Williams, a lieutenant of Dr. Martin Luther King and a prominent figure in the Selma movement, flew to Greensboro and spoke.
These white folks must understand that we own those streets like they do. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right.
Williams congratulated the Greensboro leadership for their courage in facing police tear gas on Monday and said that if necessary, he would call for thousands to come to Greensboro as they had to Selma. He then led them out of the church and into the street for the vigil. There were no incidents last night, but police and troopers will probably arrest marchers tomorrow. Bill Plant, CBS News, reporting.
Racial tension led to a fatal incident before dawn today in Americus, Georgia. Charles Smith of station WDEC reports what happened.
A 19-year-old Americus white boy, Andy Watley, died in an Albany hospital at 2 o'clock this morning after being shot in the head 2 hours earlier during a racial demonstration in Americus. Police say the large caliber bullet was fired from a passing car as the Watley youth stood in a group at a service station. Under arrest in the Sumter County Jail on open charges are two Negroes, Eddie Will Lamar, who police say was driving the car, and Charlie Lee Hopkins, also of Americus. The shooting occurred several blocks from the Sumter County Courthouse, where about 150 Negroes were bedded down in an all-night vigil protesting the arrest of four Negro women last week. The vigil ended at 3 this morning, however, and it is understood that the Negro leaders have declared a 24-hour truce with no demonstrations during that time. Charles Smith in Americus, Georgia.
General applause in Washington for the president's most recent pair of appointments. New man on the Supreme Court, Abe Fortas, age 55, a veteran of government service, eminent lawyer, longtime close friend and advisor of President Johnson, and now Mr. Johnson's choice to succeed Associate Justice Arthur Goldberg. And new man at the Voice of America, John Chancellor of NBC News, age 38, tapped by the president to supervise this country's worldwide radio broadcasts. Chancellor has been NBC's White House correspondent since November. He'll succeed Henry Loomis, who resigned with a charge that the Voice carried too much propaganda. Says Chancellor, "I am satisfied that the president wants the Voice to tell the truth." This is Dallas Thompson, CBS News. In a moment, the weather forecast for the New York metropolitan area.
8:12. If you've been looking for a good-tasting cigarette to brighten your taste, then it's time you discovered that when you light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Yes, good taste going all the way. And here's why. First, you've got Kent's vintage tobaccos. They're flavor-blended to taste mild and mellow. And then you've got the Kent filter for extra good taste. No wonder Kent is New York's largest-selling filter cigarette. So next time you buy cigarettes, remember, light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going. The 8 o'clock temperature in New York, 65 degrees. Humidity, 58%. The barometer reads an even 30 inches and is rising. Wind north at 4 miles per hour, and the temperature humidity index, 63. The weather in Central Park at the moment is sunny, and the forecast is for fair today, becoming partly cloudy with a chance of afternoon showers. Highest temperatures 80 to 85, clear and cool tonight, lowest around 60. Fair and pleasant tomorrow, chance of rain about 25% today and 10% tonight and tomorrow. Winds northwest at 10 miles per hour or less through tomorrow, becoming variable in the afternoon hours. The time now is 8:14. Listen again tomorrow at 8 a.m. to the CBS World News Roundup with Dallas Townsend.